And I want us to talk this morning about doctrine. As we think about doctrine, we recognize that that's a teaching or a belief that we have in our hearts. So we need to understand the teaching that we follow. Isaiah emphasized that thought in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 11, indicating there that we can be guilty of resisting the truth and refusing to learn those things the Lord has for us. So the scripture says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept and line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept and line upon line. And we spend a lifetime studying those things that God has revealed for us. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, the scripture says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you now able." What was the problem with these people? He said that they were yet carnal because they'd not really learned and accepted the Word of God and the will of God. And so Jesus said in Matthew 21 and verse 42, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" Oh, the Lord is working continuously. As we study those things that He's revealed in His divine Word and applying them to our lives, allowing the Word of God to speak to us, guide us and lead us into those things that are right. Peter talked about this in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8. "Wherefore also is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." God called us to listen to His revelation to us. He called those in Moses' time to listen to the prophets. And the scripture was written that we might know, and that they might know at that time, especially Israel, that God was sending an example into the world that they might observe the things that God would have them to do. And he emphasized that he was sending his dear son, and that he would die for us, our sacrifice for sin, that we might listen to his voice in times past. We find the Hebrew letter declaring, he declared his will unto the people through the prophets. But in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son. And that Son is Jesus Christ. So in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, it come to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Certainly he does have authority. He declared prior to the time that he left this earth, all authority hath been given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Matthew 15, verse 9, we find the Lord looking at some of these people that he had taught and the apostles had taught during that time, and observing that they were not worshiping God as they should. And he said in that verse, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So their worship was vain, not acceptable unto God. When we think about worshiping today, we need to be concerned about offering the worship to God that God will accept and bless us in the things that we do. Jesus had cast out the unclean spirit in Mark 1 and verse 27. And it says they were amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. I believe the unclean spirits today will still obey him if they're taught the truth of the will of God and they accept the guidance of that truth. Romans 16, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Mark them that cause division. Those that teach those things that are contrary to the will of God. Those that refuse to learn the doctrine of Christ and apply it to their lives. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10, Paul tells Timothy to stay away from lawbreakers. And he lists those lawbreakers. He says, whoremongers, from those that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Stay away from these people, he says. They're not going to do you that which is good. But they're going to lead you in to that which is wrong. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy what he needs to follow in his life and in his teaching. We find him saying there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the gospel, the doctrine that we're to be teaching. That's concerned with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was proven to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. The words that He spoke during His personal ministry, He said, "These are not my words, but they're the words of Him that sent me." And so we need to accept those words. We need to allow Christ to lead us to God. We need to be in that kingdom that He's going to present back to God at the end time. And that kingdom that He's talking about is the church, bless your heart. And we need to be in that church. And we need to apply ourselves in that church. We need to be a servant that has the attitude like we studied about in our lesson this morning. The attitude to go when the Lord asks us to go. And to do what the Lord asks us to do. So Titus, in Titus 1 and verse 9, talks about the qualifications of ministers of the gospel. And he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Ministers of God, ministering the truth of the will of God, leading people into those things that God would have us to do as we follow the example of Jesus Christ. You know, as we as sons and daughters, if we follow the will of God, then God can say of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He can say, as He addresses us as sons and daughters, that we're faithful, that we've been striving toward perfection, and He'll be gracious to us, and His mercy will be extended to us as we do the best we can to do what God would have us to do. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast to these things. Don't let them go. Apply them to your lives. Live by them. Because that's the reason that God revealed these words to us. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." This is an ongoing thing. We have to keep on teaching the will of God. We have to keep on emphasizing the gospel of Christ. We have to keep on telling people that in order to be a child of God, that we must be born of the water and of the Spirit into the family of God, that we might arise to walk in newness of life. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, he said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." You think about that. who be able to preach or teach others also. Then we go on as we look to the Word of God, and we find in Titus 2 and verse 10, he says, not quarreling, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. We need to put on the doctrine of our God. We need to be clothed with Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that it's necessary for us to be in Him, to be saved eternally. We have to not acknowledge in our mind that what Christ is coming back to save is His church. And He says, if we're going to hear His voice when He comes back, then we must be His children, His sheep. So He might call us into the kingdom of God. In Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shall shine as lights in the world. How are they going to do this? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Christ said, if any man would come unto the Father, that he must come through me. That's what Paul's touching upon, or the writer of Hebrews is touching upon at this time. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. He doesn't assume that he's going to be all right, but he's pressing on according to the will of God. And he believes a just God will receive him into eternal glory as he assumes that and does those things. So he tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. There we get that word grace again, don't we? And the application of it. And our dependence upon God. And we see His Son is our sacrifice and our example in those things that we do. Romans 14, verses 17 and 18, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. What did he say? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But what is it? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If we serve in these things, then we serve Christ and we're acceptable and we're approved by God. But we have some people, not only that they're not willing to learn, but we have some that insist on going beyond what the Word of God has told us to do. In 2 John 9, John said, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." That's what we're seeking for, isn't it? And how did he say that we're going to attain that? By doing exactly like the doctrine of Christ says that we're to live and do. John 17 and verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." One evidence and teaching right on top of another, isn't it? About accepting Christ, our sacrifice for sin. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 16, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world." And then he was received up to glory. When he finished his task here, received up to glory. In Revelation, the 4th chapter, we see him around or at the throne of God, serving there as the Son of God. And then in conclusion, Acts 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit." What does it really mean then to be led by the Spirit? Who is the manifestation of the Spirit for us? Well, the Scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I want to be a part of that reconciliation, don't you? And that's the reason the Scripture said in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been born are baptized in him, have put on Christ. Acceptable as children of God. All of those on the day of Pentecost that obeyed the word as it was delivered unto them, verse 47 said, and God added to the church daily those that are being saved. There's no way you can be a part of that saved church unless God adds you. And if he's going to add you, then you must be obedient to his word. You must obey the gospel. Lord, help you. This morning, if you need to respond to that invitation to come forth, that we might help you in any way that we can to be sure that you're in a right relationship with God and will hear his voice at the end time.